Our scripture reading today, and I'll just read you a portion of a longer passage that I'd like to kind of trip over and dig over a little bit. But we'll find this at the beginning of Matthew, chapter 13. Now, it'll be interesting, your different translations. And I want to emphasize particularly some of the ways and words that my translation puts this. So, Matthew 13, and just for our initial scripture reading, let's read through the first 10 verses. So, as I have it translated, it reads like this. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. Details are important. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10, his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" May God bless us as we consider this and the wider story today. Someone walked in this morning with a whole bunch of lilac, and there it is perched behind Pastor Eric. Thank you very much. It's very nice to see. And maybe unbeknown to you, I was going to give a reference to me trying to have greener fingers than what I have done in the past. I've grown things before, but I've been, well, some weeks or so ago, I planted some seeds, and my time problem now is that my seeds have started to sprout. And because I planted these in trays, I now need somewhere to plant them onto. And if you saw the state of our garden, you'd probably laugh as much as my wife does, although she cries at the state of the garden, but the thought of me trying to find somewhere to plant these things into. But these things grow. But what I have realized is it's very important in what you start your seeds in. So I got things out. In fact, I saw one little trick, I can't remember where it was, once upon a time, and to help kind of plant things out, I've been collecting toilet rolls. I've got a few nods around the place. So I must have seen this somewhere before, and maybe it was years ago as a child on Blue Peter or something. But I was cutting these toilet rolls in half and filling and stacking them up in a little tray and filling them with some compost that I managed to find somewhere or another. And as part of all of this, I've actually also been reading and watching some little clips, video clips on It sounds like a lazy way of doing gardening, but apparently it's a very good way, a no-dig style of gardening. This sounds great to me. Don't have to dig, this is marvellous. But it's all based around having a good composting system. So my point of telling you that bit of the story is, a good composting system, me planting out, you've got to be careful where you plant your seeds. Seeds won't just grow the way that you want them to grow, just willy-nilly. And I think that's a bit of what Jesus was trying to draw our attention to by telling this story. Let's go back to the beginning then, and verse 1 of chapter 13. Later that same day, I have realized my attention has been drawn to what Jesus goes on to tell in this story, and what we didn't read is actually a bit of a carry-on, a follow-on, it has a back reference to what he's already been talking to people about earlier on that day. So it's an interesting detail that's there. Later that same day, Jesus left the house, sat beside the lake. And maybe you can relate to that. You're at home, you're busy conversations, doing stuff around the house. And isn't it nice just to get out? Bit of countryside, bit of fresh air. Jesus gets out. But verse 2, a large crowd soon gathers around him. So he got into a boat. And then he sat down and taught. Now, I have given reference to this before, haven't I? That it's a very usual thing. The rabbi, the teacher, is the one that would sit down. So it's not surprising that it says that he sat down and taught. You might expect that maybe he's standing in the boat in order to have better voice projection or something. But he sits down. Why does he sit down? Something is about to be taught. And what happens? The teacher sits, and the listeners stand. And that's what it goes on to say. Why have this detail? It's insignificant unless this is a teaching moment. Then he sat and taught as the people stood on the shore. We could save ourselves a whole lot of money on chairs if we did the same, couldn't we? Yeah, I keep referencing it, and maybe one day I'll dare to clear the hall. And maybe you'll turn around and walk out and go somewhere else. So my point is, though, Jesus here is about to teach something. What is he teaching the people? Well, the way that I have it translated, and I notice in the King James and the New King James, it says, behold, listen. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Now, for fear of just repeating what I've just read for you for the scripture reading, we have these different types of places that the seed lands. What has been the reference of this story in the past? What would be a title, maybe, in your Bible? The parable of the sower. Now, I've grown up knowing it as the parable of the sower, but is this story about the sower? No, it's not about the sower. Is this story about the seed? Because that's the way it starts. The farmer went out to plant some seeds. If it's not about the farmer, the sower, is it about the seed? The seed's important. The soil. It's the same farmer, same seed, but different soils. And what are the four soils that we have? The first one, the farmer sows out his seed and it lands on where? The footpath. And what does it say? What does Jesus say that happens with the seed that falls on the footpath? The birds came and devoured them. Yeah, that's a great word, isn't it? Dramatic word, devoured. Yeah, especially with the smell coming out of the kitchen and getting that kind of the time of the day. Yeah, we could devour a plate full of something very soon. But the birds came along. They're flying down. Easy pickings. Easy pickings for the birds. The birds come and take, devour the seed. What's the second type of soil? Shallow. What do we know about the shallow soil? Well, the way that I have it translated there, that there's this rock underneath. There's not much soil there. But what happens with the seed as it lands and starts to germinate in the shallow soil? It can't get the roots down. So it very soon shrivels up and dies. Is that what it says? What about the third type of soil? What do we know about the third soil? Thorny. Yeah, and you mentioned weeds jumping out of the ground earlier. Yeah, I've got a garden full of weeds. Let's try this no-dig gardening, I think. What else do we know about the weedy soil? Yeah, the seed is able to start to germinate, but the seed, the weeds choke out the seeds. And a fourth soil? What do we know about the fourth soil? It's the good stuff. One in four. Wow, that's not very good odds, is it? But it finds some good soil, and what happens to this seed? It grows. And it grows so well that it does what? It gives produce. And that's the end of the story. Without knowing maybe what you've read before and heard before, what can you tell from that little parable, that allegory? Can you tell anything? Do you know anything? Do you know what it applies to? Is it any wonder then that the disciples come to Jesus? We have it there in verse 10. His disciples came and asked, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" Why do you think Jesus used parables? Sorry? To remember the story. They're going to remember it because they don't even know what it means. It relates to their life. There is an object lesson. If I'm not a farmer, I do not know what this story is about. Well, if they're a farmer, they know anything about soil. They're all reliant on produce that is grown. So they know the benefit. They maybe know that process and procedure. But what on earth is Jesus talking about? What application is there for what Jesus has just said in their lives in those days? We don't get that until we get the explanation from Jesus. He replied, verse 11, this is Jesus talking, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." That sounds a little bit elitist. Why is there that separation? Well, let's come back to that. "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge." There's something that happens when we actually listen rather than just hear. And I know I'm playing with words a little bit there, but hearing something, we can hear and it goes in one ear and out the other. Listening has prompted these disciples to develop a bit of an interest. What does Jesus really mean by this story? We don't get it. We want to know more. We want to understand. So let's spend a little bit of time with Jesus to help him help me understand. Hearing doesn't bring understanding. Listening and inquiring brings understanding. But we need to dwell long enough with Jesus to get that understanding. Jesus goes on with some other explanation. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who do not listen, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. Jesus wants people to come and not just hear, but listen and inquire and understand. For they look, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Jesus talked in parables so that it would be an object lesson, something that would be visible, that people would be prompted or reminded. But he talks in parables so that we stay long enough with Jesus to listen and inquire, to grapple and better understand, rather than hearing and it goes in one ear and out the other. It says there later that same day. I wonder if there's any clues then that Jesus is carrying on with the conversation now. Is there a reason why Jesus has given this particular parable? Now, if we go back just a few verses into Matthew chapter 12, we see that from verse 28, one day, and this is the day that later on in the day that Jesus tells the parable about the soil. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." Now, this in itself comes on the back of a few verses before that, and we'll keep going backwards in a moment. But Jesus goes on in his reply to say, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign." And then he says, "You want a sign? And I'm going to give you a sign. It's going to be the sign of Jonah." And, you know, just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, then the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days. That gets fulfilled later on. They kind of miss it, but he gives a reference to it. And then it's like Jesus saying, "You know what, while I'm on the subject of Jonah, I need you to learn something. I need you to listen. Stop long enough and think about what I'm telling you. Listen. The people of Nineveh," this is verse 41 of Matthew 12, "the people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on the judgment day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah." At the what of Jonah? Did they just hear what Jonah said and ignored it? They heard, they listened, they understood the meaning of what Jonah was preaching about. He may well have said longer than just those few words, but this must be the shortest evangelistic sermon I can think of. But what was it that Jonah said? Very reluctantly, Jonah goes off to a country and a group of people that have been oppressing his people. And no wonder he wanted to run away, but he goes there and he says, 40 days, and then that's it. Tough luck, everyone. That's the end of you. They didn't just hear, they listened. They thought about it. They understood what it was that Jonah was saying to them. And then they repented. It's not good enough just to hear what Jesus has to say. We need to dwell long enough to listen, to understand. And that in turn will make an effect on our lives. Jesus goes on, the Queen of Sheba will also stand against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. When there's something that you know that is worth listening to, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to make the time? Are you going to travel the distance? Or are we just a little bit too busy in our lives to stop and listen and understand what it is that Jesus wants to do in our lives? Why was it that these people, these religious leaders, came to Jesus on that day on verse 38 of Matthew 12? Well, if we look back a little bit more, we have this story of Jesus from verse 22. And a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak, and there's a whole lot more detail, and we don't have time today to go through everything. But a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He heals him. And because of that healing, everyone starts saying, well, you know what, this is amazing. Maybe this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, maybe he is the son of David. Maybe he is the Messiah, the expected one. Maybe. But what do the religious leaders say in response? No, it can't be him. He must be using the power of Satan. And that's where Jesus starts having this conversation with them. Really? What, a country divided against itself is not going to be strong. So why would the devil be casting out other devils? It's kind of self-implodes. It doesn't work that way. It's not a very strong way of operating. And then in verse 28, we have, I think, quite a key verse for this whole sequence of stories. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The kingdom of God is where the Spirit of God is now. Something that we can experience now. But we need to stop just hearing. We need to spend that time listening, understanding, and then responding. I did some first aid training with some people this week at our union office. Some of you may know that I had got my first aid instructor qualification some years ago for teaching youth leaders. And it's one of the things that we teach, a little sort of sequence as you approach a scene. You stop, you think, and then you act. How many of us in our spiritual lives need a bit more of this? To stop, listen to Jesus. Stop, think. To think and understand what it is that Jesus wants in our lives. What it is that Jesus wants to be teaching us. And then to act. Because thinking and understanding demands an action. Anyone who opposes me, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Verse 30. Jesus is saying, the devil won't cast out itself. That's self-defeating. But stop and look at what is going on. Are you with me? Or are you against me? I'm jumping over some things, but just to pick out a few key points to help us understand what it is that Jesus is trying to get us to understand about the story of the soils. Verse 33, Jesus goes on to say, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. The Spirit of God can be experienced as the kingdom of God, right here, right now. If we stop, we listen, we understand, and then we act. There's so much more I'd love to talk and share with you on this, but they're in this room. It seems as though he's in some house or something, but in verse 46 then, of still in Matthew chapter 12, it says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside. So he must have been inside, yes? Is that a fair enough conclusion? He was inside, they were stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Then he pointed to this disciple, to his disciple, and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mothers. Various ideas that we could pick out of that. But I just want to dwell on that, doing the will. How do we know about doing the will of God? If we don't stop, think, and act, rather than just hearing, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and nothing changes. Life goes on as normal. So Jesus leaves the house. He's had this conversation. He's kind of ruffled some people's feathers a little bit, got the cogs working for some people. So when he goes out, he sits down in this boat, he tells this story, and then at some point he must have come to the shore, because that's when the disciples say, Jesus, why are you talking in parables? What are you talking about? Jesus has at least pricked their interest. They haven't just heard. They want to listen and understand. Jesus explains then, if we go down to verse 16, Jesus is kind of giving them a verbal pat on the back, saying, blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. You are blessed because you're asking the question. You haven't just heard, you're listening and you're trying to understand. How often are we too busy in our week-to-week, day-to-day living that we maybe just try and do a devotional, but it's all a little bit rushed? We hear something, maybe it's read something, but we don't dwell long enough and inquire enough of God what is it that you are trying to teach me? What do I need to understand? How do I need to change my actions in my response to you? Jesus explains then the different soils. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. Verse 19 of Matthew 13. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those that hear. Well, here's the explanation. Let's not miss it. Those that hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Why do they hear and not understand? Because of distractions. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. They've heard, but what is missing? What's missing? It doesn't make a difference to them. The seed can't take root. They haven't stopped long enough to understand what it is about this seed, this message from God. Goes on in verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear. That's the common thing, isn't it? The first one they heard, but they weren't listening. The second time on the rocky soil, they hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Are we in danger of hearing but not spending enough time listening to Jesus, understanding and letting Jesus make a difference in our lives? Then when it just becomes a bit too difficult, a bit too inconvenient to express our faith and stand up for our faith, we're like that soil. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out with the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. It hears, just like the other soils. There's a lot of hearing going on, but not too much listening, not too much dwelling, not too much understanding. The worries of life, the pursuit of wealth, that career, that job, that house, that car that you want, more than what you need, that becomes your focus rather than hearing, listening, and understanding what it is that Jesus wants to do in your life. The fourth soil, seed that fell on good soil, represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest. Do you see what the byproduct is of stopping and listening and understanding? What's the byproduct? Produce. Produce is a byproduct of us stopping, listening, learning, understanding what it is that God wants us to do in our lives. My wife the other day said to me, you're not listening to me, are you? And I thought to myself, that's a strange way to start a conversation. Now we can be listening, we can hear things, but it simply goes in one ear and out the other. But maybe we're laughing a little bit at that comment, and it was a joke, it didn't really happen. It's normally because I haven't got my hearing aid in. But we can have things go in one ear and out the other. But is that the way that we want to live our spiritual lives? To have God say something at church, maybe some words of encouragement from fellow members. It goes in one ear and out the other because we don't stop long enough to listen and understand and then see the byproduct of dwelling long enough with Jesus. This afternoon, after our potluck shared meal, we'll have our express church service, 60 minutes, Bible study, prayer, and some singing. And I want to pick up on this theme, to dig over it a little bit more, to use that kind of metaphor, and see what it is that the subsequent stories have to also teach us. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you, in your day-to-day living, stop long enough so that you don't just hear the voice of Jesus, but you listen, you inquire like the disciples, so that you gain understanding, and that in response, Jesus may be able to produce more fruit. Father in heaven, as we seek you, help us to experience the Spirit of God, that we can be part of the kingdom of God, right here, right now. Lord, please forgive us where we have been too hasty in our relationship with you, and we've heard, but we haven't given you too much time. Lord, instead, help us to be like the disciples, to inquire, to come after you. Like the people in Nineveh, to realize what it is, the message that you have for us day to day. Like the Queen of Sheba, to pursue you even over distances. Lord, as we come and as we listen, as we seek to understand, may you produce fruit in abundance through our life and living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.